I don't know how many people walked up to me yesterday and said, hey, did you see the thing in the paper about Joyce Meyer? Of course I did. My wife pointed it out to me. She doesn't even follow these kind of things, and she pointed it out to me. Hey, did you see the thing about Joyce Meyer in the paper? Yes, I did. I'm sure you did, too. If you didn't, we're going to be talking with one of the co-authors of that special report in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Joyce Meyer Ministries, a special report during the first half hour of Issues, Etc. today. It's a four-part series. We'll find out what lies ahead. Two parts have been released so far. I've had an opportunity to look at them. This is mind-boggling. It makes one's eyes as round as saucers and one's jaw drop to the floor to consider the kind of money we're talking about here. But when we're done with Carolyn Tuft talking about her article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I'd like to share some of my thoughts with you about the real problem here. You might have found it for yourself at the end of the first part of this special report in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a quote from Joyce Meyer herself. But we'll deal with that in about 25 minutes. In the last hour of Issues, Etc., something else to look forward to. We're going to be talking with Adam Mesereau, an attorney and writer in Atlanta, Georgia, and author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Defining Marriage. Dan, we'll talk about the strategy of gay activists for gay marriage. He says gay activists have reasons to be optimistic, and it comes down to a different issue about what marriage is, where it comes from, and who can define it. We'll talk about that in the third hour of Issues, Etc. Join us anytime during these 3 hours at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Something else to talk about during that middle hour of open lines. Rush Limbaugh was back on the air today. What did you think? I heard the first half hour, then I had to get busy, and I'm not going to tell you what I think right now. I'll wait until that hour of open lines. What did you think about the return of Rush after his rehab? I have a transcript of the first 20 minutes of the program. Some things he said there struck me as odd. And we'll talk about that during open lines. Carolyn Tuft is an investigative reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and she's co-author of this series, Joyce Meyer Ministries, a special report for the Post-Dispatch. Carolyn, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
How long have you been working on this four-part series, and why did you write it, Carolyn?
We began looking into it about 4 months ago. It was a result of her name being in the news. The first thing was her battle with the Jefferson County assessor for the $20 million headquarters and how she believes it's tax-exempt, and the assessor there believes it's a business and it should be on the tax rolls. The second reason was about a year ago, she hit the news for her Rage Against Destruction program that was, they were going into schools and sort of recruiting people to an after school program, and the ACLU and the Anti-Defamation League complained nationally about it. And so that's why we decided to look at her.
So tell us, in a nutshell, who is Joyce Meyer, and describe the scope of her operation?
Joyce Meyer is a TV preacher who basically has gone from just almost like a blip on the radar screen when she started a radio program about 20 years ago to today, where she's head of a $95 million a year ministry based out of Fenton. She's more well known outside of the St. Louis area. She's in all kinds of foreign countries. She just started a ministry that is on television screens in Islamic countries, in the Middle East. And she's on several TV programs in the St. Louis area, on several different TV stations in the St. Louis area.
And how would you describe the scope of her operation in terms of not only what it's up to, but the kind of money that it's able to draw in either through the television, the radio, or the internet? And then we can talk about how the money is being spent.
I've been a reporter for 18 years, and it really amazed me the amount of money that they're able to take in every year. And at a time when the economy has gone sour or south, her ministry continues to grow at a really rapid pace. About 4 or 5 years ago, they were at the $50 million a year mark, and now they're around $95 million a year. She's got 510 paid employees out of her headquarters in Jefferson County who work answering phones, taking orders to buy videotapes, sending out the orders, dubbing the tapes. It's quite amazing.
And how is the money, as far as you could tell from your reporting, how is the money generally spent?
A lot of it is spent on her operation. She has a conference once a month somewhere, you know, mostly outside of St. Louis. In October, she had the one at the Edward Jones Dome. But a lot of the money goes basically to continue to run the business. But she has used a lot of money, or a considerable sum, I guess, to the average person, on the ministry bought her a house and completely renovated it, and then bought up four homes around her home, and that's for her four grown children, who also work there along with their spouses, live. And at least two of them have been had considerable work on the inside of those houses, too.
So the actual organization purchased and owns these homes where Joyce Meyer and her families live?
That's correct.
And how does that work in terms of the law? I know that I'm a minister myself. I know that churches can purchase parsonages and things like that. It stays in the name of the corporation, of the church, that is. But I think I'd have a hard time selling any congregation on buying my kids a house.
Well, that's what she claims. What she says is that it's her parsonage are the five houses because of death threats on her life. She had to buy the four houses around her and put favorable people in those homes surrounding hers. And that's what she says. I mean, the IRS does have laws that they can go by, that any charity that is a nonprofit or religious organization cannot be set up to excessively benefit the founder and their families. In this case, that would be Joyce Meyer and her children and her husband. So some people will tell you that it appears there could be a problem, and the IRS basically won't talk about it. There are laws put in place to as a reflection of the First Amendment to the Constitution of religious freedom that puts a lot of, roadblocks in the way of policing religious organizations.
What entity within the Joyce Meyer operations actually makes the decisions about how the money is being spent?
The board.
Tell us about that.
Well, it's a board made up of Joyce, her husband Dave, and her four children, one of whom, Laura, has recently resigned, as we understand it, and a minister at Life Christian Center, which was her mentor or the person that helped her along in her early days, and several other friends of hers, which are also in different ministries.
So let me get this straight, just for the sake of making sure all the players are in the right positions. The board is the entity within the Joyce Meyer operation that decides how the money of the ministry is being spent. Some of that money has been spent to buy houses not only for Joyce Meyer, but also for her children who are members of the board.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about the Jefferson County tax question here.
Okay.
What is this story?
Well, what happened was when she started off, she was in a business park at 300 Biltmore, which is sort of across the street on the same side of Gravois in Jefferson County. It's northern Jefferson County. And while she was running her ministry out of that building, or set of buildings, actually, she was on the tax rolls as a business in Jefferson County. It wasn't until she moved across the street into this new headquarters that she built for around $20 million or so on a 52-acre tract the insides were valued at $6 million, so it was $26 million assessment of property. And so her tax bill went from about $100,000 a year to $600,000 a year that Joyce sued the Jefferson County assessor because he did not claim her as exempt on her taxes.
So where did the story go from there? She sued the assessor when the bill came due.
She sued the assessor. She didn't appeal her taxes. She paid under protest. She sued the assessor. That drug out in the courts. And then that next spring, when the new assessment came out, still having her on the tax rolls, she appealed at that point to the Board of Equalization, which is the appeal board for Jefferson County, and they sided with her and pulled her stuff off of the tax rolls, which caused a huge outcry amongst the taxpayers of Jefferson County who either saw their tax bills go up or maybe services go down as a result. This year, however, what's happened is the tax assessor has still put them on the tax rolls, but the Board of Equalization has stood silent, and now it's up to the state tax board to decide whether or not she's tax exempt. Her organization does enjoy tax exemption with the federal and state governments, however.
We're talking about this four-part series in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I'm sure you saw, folks, titled Joyce Meyer Ministries, a Special Report, with one of its co-authors, Carolyn Tuft. She's an investigative reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Carolyn, tell us about the group Wall Watchers. They figure into at least one part of this ongoing series.
They're an organization out of North Carolina that organized about 5 years ago, I guess, when they felt that there were some religious organizations that they wanted to look into to help people who donate money to ministries learn a little bit more about where their money is going. And so what they do is they send letters and emails out to the largest 400 Christian, only Christian, organizations in the country, only the United States. And then they put that financial information on the Internet, on their Internet site. And if they don't get any information or cooperation from the ministry, they grade them on what they call, transparency, whether or not they're transparent, whether or not they're open to this, having their finances open to the public.
Whether they're open their books and show their records and things like that.
Right.
Okay.
And one of the organizations that they graded was Joyce Meyer Ministries, and she earned an F grade because they wouldn't give any of their financial information up.
Now, legally, do nonprofits have to make an annual and public reporting of their financial records?
No, unlike other nonprofits, charitable organizations, religious organizations don't file tax returns, so the IRS, they don't look at how they spend their money. And when a regular or a non-religious charity sends in those 990s to the IRS, they become public. So anyone can look at, say, the United Way's finances or other charitable organizations. But as far as religious organizations go, because of that religious freedom in the First Amendment, they're not required to file anything with the IRS.
Back to the issue of the board, does the overlap of administrators in Joyce Meyer's operation and board members, does the fact that some of them are exactly the same people and are the ones who benefit from the decisions made by the board on how to spend ministry money, does that present a problem legally?
Well, all I know is that the IRS says that that's something that concerns them, and it seems to be the more prosperous religious organizations seem to be set up like that, and it's one of, I guess they call it, red flags. It's not in the law, though. There is no law about that. The law is simply this on religious organizations as far as taxes. The first law is that they cannot use a substantial amount of their energy towards political activity. They can't, you know, endorse candidates and that kind of thing. And then the other rule is what's called private inurement. You cannot set up a religious organization to benefit you personally. And they can, you know, the religious organizations can buy parsonages and they can pay salaries, but they have to be what they call reasonable. And reasonable would be what other ministers in the area, meaning the St. Louis area, would be paid.
And what is the intent behind these IRS regulations?
Well, that's the intent of the law is so that someone like you or not, you or I could not open a religious organization and then have the proceeds benefit myself. I can't. So that people are not setting up tax-exempt religious organizations solely to help themselves or just to help themselves.
Now, you've mentioned before that this is a that her events are popular venues, the television, the radio program. What would someone expect to see if they attended a Joyce Meyer event, either here in St. Louis or elsewhere nationally?
Oh, they would expect to see Joyce Meyer, and Joyce Meyer spends part of her time giving, I would say, everyday advice on everyday matters as it is. As she says that the Bible, you know, she applies biblical principles to everyday life, and the other half of it is her her and her organizations asking for money, asking for tithing, asking for donations, selling of product. When you walk into a conference, no matter where it is, instead of a program that you would expect at an event like that. You get a program, which is a slick, colored catalog of all of the things that she has for sale, from books to videotapes to audio tapes to coffee mugs and the like.
So there's quite a bit of not only merchandising, but a pretty heavy ask, as they say in the industry, woven throughout any of these Joyce Meyer events.
Right. And she also asks people to become what they call regular partners, and a regular partner is someone that agrees to allow their money be directly deducted each month from their bank account or maybe a credit account, a credit card account. There are all kinds of ways. I mean, as we said, you know, in today's paper, it is really well-run way to raise money. And it seems that others are following suit.
Talk a bit, if you would, Carolyn, about the loyalty of Joyce Meyer's following. How would you assess that in terms of just how they react not only to her in support of her, but also reaction to the scrutiny that an investigative report might bring?
The people who follow Joyce Meyer follow her unconditionally because they believe and they say, and they can show you examples of how her teachings have changed their life for the better. Women have said that they have been able to lose heroin addictions and quit smoking cold turkey, and people who have turned their lives around. These people do not care what Joyce Meyer does with the money that she raises. If she uses it on herself, that's fine. And the experts say that most people who would follow her in the, what they call prosperity gospel, meaning that if you give, you can expect something in return, that her wealth, her ability to raise enough money to become wealthy is evidence to them that her prosperity message is correct.
How does Joyce Meyer, two quick final questions, how does Joyce Meyer react herself to the scrutiny as far as you can tell?
Well, we were hoping to hear from her organization today, but we haven't heard from her organization today. I would say that they have been surprisingly cooperative in our requests for information, and she did do interviews with us, which we really did appreciate.
And how about the rest of the series? Tell us about Tuesdays and Wednesdays features in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in this series.
Tomorrow, we talk about the things that she does charitably with the money that she brings in. There is a Dream Center in North St. Louis City that helps homeless and prostitutes, and she sends money to other ministries around the globe. That money represents 10% of the money that she brings in annually. That is the only charitable work we could see or could find that she uses with the money, and they are the ones that gave us the numbers for the money that she gives out. And then on Wednesday, we do a story about how Joyce Meyer fits in the world of TV evangelists and what other TV evangelists are doing and how they sort of all work together to help each other. And when one comes up with something innovative to do to raise money or to get the word of God out, then the next one will pick it up. So that's our last 2 days of the series.
Carolyn Tuft, thank you for your good work, and thank you for being our guest on Issues Etc.
You're welcome.
Carolyn Tuft is an investigative reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She's co-author of this series called Joyce Meyer Ministries, A Special Report in the Post-Dispatch. You can read the series by going online to the website for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, stltoday.com. That's stltoday.com. We'll be watching carefully the rest of that series. Now, when we come back from this break, I read the newspaper article. I eventually had to get around to doing that sometime this morning. I'll have to be honest with you. I was dreading it a little bit because many of the things that were in there I knew was probably going to, be a bit frustrating. But what I'm frustrated here is not at the fact that Joyce Meyer lives lavishly or that her organization buys homes for board members who are also her children, also staff members. I think we leave that to the IRS and to the Jefferson County tax assessor. Let them worry about that. What I'm concerned about, I'll tell you about right on the other side of this break.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a reliable Christ-centered guide for your daily devotional life? Instead of spending 40 days concentrating on your purpose with Rick Warren, why not spend those days meditating on God's mercy with Johann Gerhardt? Hi, I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for November is called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. It's translated by Pastor Matt Harrison. You can order Meditations on Divine Mercy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find more information on our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy. 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer in the Southeast Asian country of Laos. A network of Christian churches was recently closed. Pray for persecuted Christians in Laos. Secret police recently closed 60 churches in Laos while other Christians have been forced to renounce their faith. An article in the Global Prayer Digest magazine describes the pressures that Christians face under the communist government. Some Christians who haven't renounced their faith have either been expelled or they've been placed under starvation conditions. Ethnic conflict also adds to the spiritual tension. Many Christians are from the Hmong ethnic group. The Hmong have responded favorably over the years to gospel radio broadcasts from Far East Broadcasting Company. In contrast, the ethnic Lao are the majority people, and they're committed to communism or Buddhism. Pray for Christians to persevere in Laos. Pray for persecuted Christians by logging on to the internet site missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Diane had to be out of town last week, so Dale, Speaker the Dog, and Amos the Rabbit had the place all to ourselves. After the first day, the kitchen counter had a pile of dirty dishes, an open bag of potato chips, an empty dog food can, and chicken bones from supper, and newspapers. The family room had books and mail strewn around my easy chair, and newspapers. The living room was okay, except for newspapers there, too. No newspapers in the bedroom, but oh, you should have seen the bed. On second thought, no, you shouldn't. I'm positive my wife, my daughters, and my mother are aghast that I'm saying this. Not to worry, on day two it got so bad that we started to clean up. Started. Religious people like to say, they've done nothing, it was all God's doing. Well, I did nothing, and I'm glad you didn't see the mess. Faith doesn't eliminate the need for our initiative and our work. What God does is enable us to will and to act according to His good purpose. Philippians 2:13. Wrote Oswald Chambers, drudgery is the touchstone of character. The rabbit is still waiting for me to clean his cage. I guess I'm still Dale Meyer.
Hi, this is Chuck Rathert, host of the Bible Study, enjoying a long weekend and Monday off. Pastor Todd Wilkin will be the pinch hit host for our Gospel of Luke study with Pastor Tom Eckstein of Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church in Bridgeton. The text, Luke 8, verses 26 through 56. Listen to the Bible Study weekday mornings at 10:05. Luke 8, next time.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here for the next hour at least of the program, we've got open lines for your questions and your comments. I'd like to talk a little bit here about the series on Joyce Meyer and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but more than that, the tendency here, the temptation here, when you read these things and you see the numbers, you're talking about millions, tens of millions of dollars, approaching $100 million, the entire scope of the Joyce Meyer operation. And then you read about the $50,000 cars, and you read about the custom-made clothes and the private hairdresser and the jewelry and the houses and the houses and the houses. And you read about the private guards so that no one can go into the building. You read about trying to get out of property taxes. It is very tempting to simply focus on the fruit, the outcome, and to say, look, something fishy's got to be going on here because there's a lot of money changing hands. And it's changing hands in a way that is, well, not altogether open for everyone to see. Maybe nothing wrong with that, but if, say, your pastor at your church said he wanted to hire his son and then buy him a house, and he wanted the church to pay for it, and have the church pay upkeep and utilities, and have the church pay for renovations, you might get a little suspicious, right? The temptation is to focus on the fruit, and to become outraged at that. The numbers, the mind-boggling, eye-widening numbers. You know what I found most outrageous in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series so far. Of what I've read, the two parts that are out, the most outrageous thing that I found were not the millions of dollars and not the fancy cars and homes and not the private jet and not the kind of endless hawking of merchandise to the faithful and not the requests for money and not the repeated requests for money. That's not what I found. Those are all kind of the fruit. What I found most outrageous was the seed. Not the fruit, the seed. Now, this is a good basic principle. The Bible talks about bad tree, bad fruit. But the problem with a bad tree is not that it bears bad fruit. The real problem with a bad tree is that it's a bad tree. Even if it didn't bear any fruit that you could see, it would still be a bad tree. Bad trees bear bad fruit. Bitter springs don't bring forth fresh water. Grapes don't grow from fig trees. You know, the Epistle of James talks about this is one of the ways that you see what the real problem is. When Paul talks about false apostles, when he writes to the Corinthians, and he talks about false apostles, he does say, by their fruit you will know them. There I think he's talking mostly about their teaching. But you know, the real problem isn't that they live lavish lifestyles or that they live lives inconsistent with what you would consider kind of decency and discretion. That's just the fruit. The real problem is it's a bad tree. Now, how I said what concerns me is the seed. And I found the seed in several places in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series, but no more so than in the very last paragraph of the first part. And I had people approach me this weekend saying, did you read what she said? After being wowed by all the numbers and the spending and the scope of the operation, did you read what she said? This is from Joyce Meyer herself. And I found this to be outrageous. I found this to be the seed that really is more disturbing than any amount of money she could spend or misspend or spend on herself. This is what she says. Last paragraph. First part in the series in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, quoting Joyce Meyer, the whole Bible has one message. Obey me and do what I tell you to do, and you will be blessed. That's how Joyce Meyer summarizes the message of the whole Bible. The whole message of the Bible. The Bible really has just one message. Obey me and do what I tell you, and you will be blessed. You know, if Joyce Meyer were really preaching the message of the Bible, and by the way, folks, that ain't it. If she were really preaching the message of the Bible, the one message of the Bible, I don't think I'd really have a problem with a $95 million operation spending on fancy cars and houses with heated garages that'll hold eight cars and things like that. I wouldn't have a problem with it. If she were really preaching the one message of the gospel. You see, that is the one message. The one message of the Bible is not obey me and do what I tell you and you will be blessed. That is one of the messages of the Bible. That is the message of the law. Do this and you will live. Keep the commandments perfectly and you can expect the favor of God. If you can keep the commandments perfectly, if you can obey perfectly from a pure heart 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, from the time you come out of the womb until you go into the grave, if you can obey me and do everything I say, you've got nothing to fear from God. But it's got to be perfect obedience from a pure heart all the time, thought, word, and deed. That's what the law requires. Now, obviously, Joyce thinks she's doing it because she's been blessed. She says she's living her reward. But the problem is not the reward that she says she has. The problem is how she thinks she got that reward. She says, obey me and do everything that I tell you and you will be blessed. That's what the one message of the Bible is. There's the bad seed I was talking about. The fruit beyond that is really irrelevant. She could be making $95 a year and this would still be heresy. This would still be a bad seed that inevitably brings forth bad fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. Remember, that's what Scripture says. Is the message of the Bible really, obey me and do everything I say and you will be blessed? As I said, that's what the law says. The message of the law is, keep the commandments perfectly and you will have favor with God. Thought, word, and deed from a pure heart your whole life. Oh, and by the way, the law also says, break it once and you've broken the whole thing. Violate it once and you violated the whole thing. Fall short once and you've fallen short of it all. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That law demands perfect obedience. What is the one message of the gospel that stands at the heart of Holy Scripture? What is the one message of the Bible that if Joyce Meyer were preaching it, I'd have no problem with the money and the lavish lifestyle and the wealth? What is the one message of the Bible that if she were really proclaiming it, she might not be hawking her books or promising people healing or promising people prosperity if they give her money? I have never understood this. I'll get to that in a second. I have never understood this. Remember Robert Tilton? He always used to talk about Elijah and the little widow woman. And Elijah and the little woman, Elijah was the prophet, and the little widow woman knew what she had to do. She had to feed the prophet first, and then she'd be fed. And he used this day in, day out to urge his followers to give him money. Feed me first, and then you'll be blessed. He lived the same kind of lavish lifestyle. But where was the problem? Was it in his lavish lifestyle? No, not really. It was in the bad seed he was planting. It was in that he had reduced the message of Scripture to one thing that it isn't. Essentially, make me rich, and then God will make you rich. Some of them even put it that way. Joyce has got a different twist on it. Her twist is, God says, obey me and do everything I say, and I will bless you. And she claims to be living proof of it. It doesn't sound that different from the softer sell that's being pushed out of Saddleback Community Church out in California. Except that Rick Warren doesn't promise you anything in this life. He promises you eternal rewards. He's just shifted the pay date, the payoff. The whole Bible really does have one message. And it begins, yes, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will live. But it doesn't end there. See, the problem is not necessarily with what Joyce Meyer says, although she does say a lot of strange things. The problem is with what she does not say. The message, the one message of the Bible is that although we have not obeyed, we have fallen short, we have transgressed, not but once, but many times, of a law that demands perfect obedience, that every day in thought, word, and deed, we, and you know, Joyce hates this message. If you've ever heard her rail against anything, when she starts railing against things, the thing she hates the most is what she left behind when she left the Lutheran Church. And that is the message of sin. She can't stand it. Cannot stand it. She reserves her sharpest invective against those who would be so bold as to confess that they are poor, miserable sinners who need a Savior. It's indicative, isn't it, that she would forget this, that she would say, oh, I'm not a sinner. Now I'm one who's obeying and reaping the benefits. The Bible says you must obey perfectly. But the same law that says obey perfectly and you will live also says if you don't, you're damned. You're doomed. Your destination is hell. The same Bible also teaches that all of us are conceived and born in that sin. And therefore, we're condemned already. The law doesn't even give us a chance to obey. We're already lawbreakers at birth. And yet, the one message of the Bible is that there is one who has obeyed perfectly. And guess what? It's not Joyce Meyer. It's Jesus. Jesus is the only one who heard that message of the law, obey me, do what God commands, and you will live, and did it perfectly, from a pure heart, from beginning to end, from the womb to the tomb, literally to the tomb, obedient all the way unto death. That never in thought or word or deed did he violate a single jot or tittle of the law. And he did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for people who don't obey, who can't obey, who may want to obey, but still fall short. People who are under the condemnation of the law, Jesus took that condemnation himself in his body at the cross. That's the one message of the Bible. If Joyce Meyer preached that one message of the Bible, she can have all the money she wants. I don't care. I might even give her money if she was really preaching that one message, Jesus' obedience and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That blessings come not through our obedience, but blessings come through the obedience of the only one who has been obedient for us, Jesus Christ. The only way we know that God is looking favorably upon us is not because of our obedience. There will always be doubt with regard to that because we can never keep the law perfectly from a pure heart. The only way we will know that God is favorably disposed toward us and be sure of it is to look to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And we really can't even be sure in this life which are the blessings and which are the curses, to tell you the truth. Christians only know that God is blessing them when they are prosperous or when they're not, when they're well or when they're sick, when they're living the high life or approaching death's door. They can only know that God is still blessing them in spite of their circumstances, in spite of what they may feel like God is doing. They can only know it because God has promised that all who bear the name of Christ are under God's eternal blessing because of what Christ did, not because of what they do. Heck, if Joyce Meyer preached that message, I might even write out a check. I don't know. I'd like your reaction to this series. What do you think of the investigative reports so far as they come to us in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on Joyce Meyer? Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If time permits, Rush Limbaugh is back, by the way. He was on the air today for his full 3 hours after 5 weeks of rehab. I wanted to know what you think about that as well. I've got a bit of a transcript from the first 20 minutes. Some interesting things he had to say. But first, let's go to the phones. Monica is calling from her car. Monica, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon. My husband and I were having lunch today discussing this because we read the article together yesterday and then the follow-up today's article. And we are racking our brains to think of some supposed ministry, for the lack of a better word, that is rolling in money anywhere in the world that preaches Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sin. Do you know of one?
No, I do not, Monica. Thank you very much for the call. I don't. I guess I tend to look at it from this perspective. Rather than looking around and saying, is there a ministry someplace that is preaching Christ and him crucified in an uncompromised way that's rolling in money, I tend to look at it from the other end, which is Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. In this world, the world will hate you. He does not tell his disciples to plan for prosperity. He doesn't even tell them to think big. He just says, go and make disciples. Preach the word, be diligent in season and out of season. He says, if they treated the master as shabbily as they treat me, how do you expect them to treat you, the servants? No servant is greater than his master. He promises them a cross. Anyone who would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Does that mean that everyone who purely preaches the gospel can expect to get their pay cut every year or something? No. It just means that there will be places where the gospel is rejoiced in and appreciated. And there will be places where it will bring no apparent prosperity or rewards at all. Now, from Joyce Meyer's perspective, she says that she needs to live the lifestyle she does. And she does live the lifestyle she does, because if she didn't, she would not be the kind of effective witness she is in the world. And I simply ask the question, back to the seed question, what is the witness she is? What is she witnessing to? What is she bearing witness to? And she says things like, the whole Bible really has one message, obey me and do what I tell you and you will be blessed. The message there seems to be inescapable. She's bearing witness to herself, to her own obedience. Look at me, how obedient I have been. Evidence, I'm blessed. I'm bearing witness to my own obedience. Whereas the message of Scripture bears witness to the obedience of Jesus Christ. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Bob is calling from House Springs. Bob, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Todd?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Bob Schneller. I was in one of those articles today.
Were you?
It's one of the ones that wasn't blessed. They didn't quite get it right, but it's titled, After 9 Years of Giving, Man Has No Chrysler, No Wife, No Wealth.
Yeah, I'm seeing your picture right in front of me here, carrying in the groceries.
Yeah, actually, I was coming home from work.
Okay.
But anyway, it's the articles, you know, the dates and everything, and some of the things they've taken and twisted them a little bit.
How is that?
Well, it's like, you know, I was saved in 1984. I didn't get involved with Joyce Meyer until 1987, and they've got 85. And I was still in the Catholic Church when I got saved through a TV, you know, the 700 Club. But we came out of Catholic Church in 86, and then in 87 we got involved with Joyce Meyer and then went to her, you know, her church, Life Christian Center. And we were with her till 94 when that Holy Laughter came, and we parted company then because we didn't think that was, you know, scriptural, and we left, and we spoke at a church over in Illinois, and Joyce called my wife into her, or my ex-wife, into her office and read her the Riot Act and said we were entitled to our own opinions if we kept them to ourselves, but we went public by going and speaking at this church, so she more or less, you know, parted company with us, you know. But a lot of it is right. I mean, you know, about Joyce, about the money, and, you know, it's all about selling tapes and money and driving these fancy cars. And Joyce, and I know you've had other guests on your program, but she's typically word of faith. I mean, she's Kenneth Copeland's, is her mentor, you know, and I guess you're familiar with him.
Yes, certainly am, and that's been one of the big question marks as we've talked about Joyce over the years as her popularity has grown, is people will say, well, she's word faith. She teaches a prosperity gospel. She teaches the basic notion that if you exercise your faith, you can kind of speak into your life either prosperity and blessing or poverty and curses. Let me just ask you one question. How much money did you give to Joyce Meyer over the years, do you think?
Well, at least, you know, when we were doing pretty good back then, when we actually, you know, got involved with Joyce, and I know at least over 1 year it was like $4,400 1 year, and then varied by a little bit each, you know, each year. It was around that each year back then, and I started, well, I had some problems, health problems. And that's, you know, some of the paper got that wrong. You know, it's, Joyce didn't pray for me and tell me everything would be better. She never did that. The paper says that. She did pray for me, you know. But some of the stuff, see, when I found out, because I was deceived, I didn't know, you know, coming out of a Roman Catholic background and getting in there with charismatics, I didn't know what the word faith was until I actually got in it. I was deceived by it, and, you know, once we started to learn like their thing, their view of the atonement is strictly kind of Copeland, where, you know, Jesus went to hell and he died spiritually. And
yeah, and we can talk about the teachings, and I do thank you for your call, Bob. One more question before I let you go. What have you learned from your experience with Joyce Meyer Ministries?
Well, to be more discerning and to be really careful where I put my money, but also, you know, that the Bible, and I'm going to church now where we're being taught verse by verse, and it's not, that way you don't take things out of context like they do in the Word of Faith and like Joyce Meyer does. I mean,
Bob, thank you very much for the call. Going to a break. See if we can get one more call in here. I'll get a reaction on the other side of this break. Jeff is calling from his car. Jeff, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Todd. I just happened to turn the radio on here and catch the last few minutes of your discussion. What I was wondering, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you need to pray for the blood of Jesus to be over you to save you. Now, my question is it not the blood that saves us, but more the merits of what Jesus did, that perfect obedience to his Father, you know, and
Jeff,
know,
it's a good
perfect will of God?
It's a good question. We don't play one off the other. When we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, we're speaking in a thoroughly scriptural way, but the blood of Jesus Christ is Scripture's shorthand for all that he did, the shedding of his blood and his perfect obedience. It all goes together. We are saved. That's why it's a very safe thing always to talk about being saved for the sake of Christ, because it's his whole person and work that goes into our salvation. He was a whole sacrifice, a whole life sacrificed, perfect obedience, lived toward God and before men, not for himself. He had nothing to earn before God for himself. That perfect obedience was lived for us. That perfect obedience, as Scripture so clearly teaches, culminated, Paul says in Philippians, culminated in a death on the cross. And there's the shedding of blood. So whether you talk about the perfect obedience culminating in the shedding of blood, or you simply talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're speaking scripturally about those things and not just kind of making stuff up on your own, you're speaking the way Scripture talks about how it is God saves us. When we come back from this break, more of your phone calls on the St. Louis Post-Dispatch series on Joyce Meyer Ministries. Give me a call during this break, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you're calling from your car phone, if you're a first-time caller, or if you're listening on the Internet and call, we'll give you top priority, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.